The third part, now it's working. third part, bold prayer, part three. And in the last few weeks, it's a series, you know, and last few weeks I talked about bold prayer in our unbelief, bold prayer in doing God's will. Last week, I preached a bold prayer in spiritual battle, and today is bold prayer in healing. Okay, bold prayer in healing, and for this sermon, I want to focus on emotional healing. Okay, emotional healing, and you know, some people now I think they say soul care. You know, focus on emotional healing. You know, I have a friend that I grew up with in Chicago. His name is Paul, and many years ago, he went to IHOP Kansas City. Now, you got to say IHOP Kansas City because they were sued, you know, by International House of Pancake for that name, and so you always have to say IHOP Kansas City. He went down there, and he, you know, he's a staff, and he does ministry in the healing and also the prophetic ministry at IHOP Kansas City. And I visited him with few people from here in Kansas City. And what I realized, there were thousands of people from all over the world that would come for training, and they would come for ministry at IHOP KC. And, you know, there would be a lot of broken people that would come to this church. And so I asked Paul, you know, there must be a lot of broken people that comes here. He goes, yeah. And so I asked him, you know, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with it? And what he told me was this, that when they come, especially for training or school, it is required, you know, because IHOP Kansas City is about prayer. It's about 24-hour prayer, and they have a prayer place where, you know, there's worship and prayer that's going on for 24 hours. And so if they come for training or if they come to the school, they have to pray. You know, they'll be in the prayer room for maybe 1 hour or 2 hour or 3 hour or even like 6 hours a day, and they would have to pray. And as they pray, they will get revelations from the Lord. Okay, they will get revelations from the Lord and the Holy Spirit. As they pray, the Holy Spirit will touch them. Their hearts will get softer, and their hearts start to change, and they start to develop more compassion, and there's greater connection with the Lord as they pray. And he says, and then they get healed. Okay, they will get healed. In the 20 years as a pastor, I went to many healing retreats, healing conferences. You know, I had so many issues. I had many healing sessions, okay, with different counselors, and I had many different healing sessions, and even healing trainings, you know, over the 20 years. You know, sometimes would be 2-week training or weekend training. I even, you know, flew to Canada to get more training. And when I look back, first I want to say I'm very thankful for them. You know, it helped me. I'm thankful for it. It changed my life, and it was a tremendous, great blessing. But I want for Catalyst. I don't want us to fall into wrong thinking, though. You know, that you get few healing sessions. You know. Counseling, and you go to the inner healing retreat, and then this is the wrong thinking. You think, now I am healed. Okay? Now I am healed. Now I'm not going to struggle with any bitterness, you know, no more condemnation, no more shame, no more fear. And that's the wrong thinking. Okay? That's not a real reality thinking. Okay? Yes. God moved through the counseling session. God moved through those retreat, those conference. And in our church, we have a ministry called Renewal. And we've been doing this for, you know, since the beginning of Catalyst. And in those renewal conference or retreat and teaching and ministry, saw many wonderful things that God did for people, you know. There was healing, there was freedom, there was revelation. God touched many people. But as your pastor, I want to be honest and real with you. Okay? Yes, that's great, you know. Come to a weekend healing retreat, and it's powerful, it's good. But the thing is, you're going to have to go back home. Okay, you can't stay at that retreat center. And when you go back home, real life will hit you. Okay? And you're going to have to face the day-to-day struggle. And when you go back home, you know, unless you want to stay at the retreat center for, you know, week after week after week, and you can't. They're going to, renewal will kick you out. You can't stay at the renewal, you know. It's just a one-day thing, you know, or a weekend thing. But when you get back home, lies will hit you again. And from time to time, you will go through weakness. You will regress. You will relapse. You know, and the thing is, you know, when you go back home, you're gonna see your mom again, see your dad again. Your spouse is still there. Your children is there, and the people that you have conflict are still there. You might have experienced a revelation, touched by God. You know, there was truth, there was a measure of healing, but the people, when you go back home, they did not change. Okay? They haven't changed. And when you get back to real life, the demons won't leave you alone. They're not going to. Demons will fight harder to get you back to the old brokenness and old bondage. I hope I'm not discouraging you. But this is the reality. Okay? This is reality. But we are seeking healing, and for real healing to happen, okay, attending a healing retreat is not enough. Counseling session is not enough. Just feeling, but some people just, that's the goal. I just want to feel better. Okay, I just want to feel better. And feeling better is not enough. See, when life hits you, when you go back home, there is a measure of healing. But most people, the residue is still there. The residue is still there. And you haven't walked out the healing yet. And it's very important to walk out the healing, walk out the freedom. And how do you walk out the healing? You have to pray. Okay? You have to pray. Okay? And this kind of prayer is what I call bold prayer. Bold prayer. Bold prayer, you're not depending on feeling alone. And you're not playing a victim. In the midst of all the old lies that's hitting you, you know, when life hits you, the spiritual battle, the negative emotion, harassing thoughts, in the time of stress and anxiety, when you get on your knee during that time, when you pray, that becomes bold prayer. You know, when you do bold prayer, this is what you are proclaiming spiritually. You are saying that you will not be a victim anymore, but an overcomer. You see yourself biblically. You are more than a conqueror in Christ. You're becoming, when you do that, you're becoming more and more like Christ. Okay? You're becoming more and more like Christ. Bold prayer, when it comes to healing, shows that you, see, bold prayer, when you do that, right? When you come back home and when life is hitting you, you are, what you're saying, spiritually, you're choosing to walk out the healing. You're choosing to walk out the healing. Bold prayer and healing is when old things are being stirred up. You know, when you get on your knees, when you pray, what you're proclaiming, I refuse to be afraid. Okay? that very act of praying in the midst of that spiritual attack, you're saying, it's hard, but I'm choosing not to be afraid. I'm choosing not to be depressed. I'm choosing not to be entertained by lies or be angry. I'm choosing not to isolate myself or blame other people or to stay in anger. But when life hits you, it's easy to blame others. You know why so many people do it? Because that is easy. But when you pray, you're being bold. Okay, it's easy. It's very easy to complain, isn't it? It's very easy to lose faith. It's very easy to be bitter. Very easy to be hopeless. Huh? But when I'm challenging you, let's choose to pray. And when you choose to pray during that time, that prayer becomes bold. That is bold prayer. You know, when you pray, when life gets real, what type of disciples are you, believers are you? You stop praying or you pray more? Bold prayer and healing, right? What you're saying, what you're proclaiming is, I'm not giving up. Okay, I'm not giving up. In our brokenness, lies are very strong. Lies and demonic attack is very intense. And I didn't like this passage. But in Matthew 12, Jesus never lies. And so we're gonna have to take this passage, okay, and deal with this passage, because what Jesus said is this: when unclean spirit has gone out of a person. And Jesus said this, it will return with seven other evil spirits. Seven other, not two, seven other evil spirits. So in the context of healing and freedom, what is this saying? This passage shows healing and deliverance is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. This passage seems to say, what Jesus is saying, if you are seeking real healing and deliverance, you need to understand the demons will attack you more. Okay? They will attack you more. Okay. See, the kingdom of the devil, you know what they're afraid of? What they're afraid of is that you will walk out the healing and freedom. They want you to stay in bondage and brokenness and lies. That's why when you're seeking to get delivered from one demon, they will come back with seven. But if you're seeking healing and deliverance, they don't like it. Okay, you got to understand, they don't like it. They will attack you more. And they will send not two, but seven more. Seven more. Okay, I'm not trying to discourage you. But speak the truth. Because what you're going through, this is what you're going through right now. Okay? But the good news, the Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to set you free. And the process that the Lord wants you to take you is going from one level to the next level to the next level, okay? The Bible calls it from going from glory to glory to glory. It's called growing spiritually mature, growing spiritually. It's another way to say it. It's becoming more and more like Christ. Right? And as you do that, what Jesus says, that's abundant life. From going from glory to glory to glory. That's a biblical abundant life. And the devil will do everything he can to prevent that from happening in your life. going from glory to glory. The devil will steal to prevent that from happening, destroy, lie, put curses on you, defile you, discourage you, will try to divide and cause conflict to prevent you from going from glory to glory. But this passage used to discourage me. Then why should I seek healing? Why should I seek deliverance? There'll be seven more that will come. You know? But see, when real life hits you, the enemy will attack you, but we could defeat this if we do bold prayer. Think about this. Right? One demon, you go to the next level, seven will come, but you would be able to defeat seven next time. Seven. You know, I want to explain. You know, I've been in ministry for about over 30 years. And I met a lot of different people from all, you know, different cities and countries. And you know, from time to time, I would meet, you know, people that I met a while back. And I would see, right, sometimes I didn't see them for 10 years or 5 years or a year. And there are people that have matured. When I just meet them, you just see it. They matured. There's transformation. They walked out in greater healing, and there's greater spiritual authority in their life. And spiritually, I see it again and again. Those kind of friends, those friends, what happens is when life hit them, when demons were harassing them, and when they felt like giving up, they chose to pray. They will get on their knees. But I also, see people that I knew from the past, and I will meet with them, and there are people that haven't changed at all, like in 10 years. They're stuck. The same issues. What they talked about 15 years ago, they're talking about now. The same thing. And some of them even went backwards spiritually. Right? And when I meet people like that, it kind of reminds me of Exodus 15, chapter 17. It's in Exodus 15 to chapter 17. In those three chapters, God's people were in the wilderness, and there was three trials in those chapters it was talking about. First trial was there was no water to drink. They failed that trial, but God was merciful and provided water. Second trial, there was no food, and they failed, that trial, and God was still gracious. Third trial was very similar to the first trial, no water, and they failed that trial. And if you look at those passages, they did not pray. Instead, they complained. They grumbled. They wanted to stone Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt. There was unbelief. There was hopelessness. There was faithlessness. And they failed those trials. Instead of praying, they complained. They grumbled. And what's interesting about Exodus 15, 16, and 17, the first trial and the third trial was a similar trial. No water. Right? They can't overcome that trial. No water. They failed first time. And when it happened again, they failed again. They were stuck. They can't defeat that one demon. That demonic attack. They couldn't defeat that one demonic attack. But you also see, if you look at that, first trial, God led them to this oasis, they didn't pass it. And then, when it was the water trial again, what you notice is that they got worse. Moses called the place Massah and Meribah. You know why? They weren't just complaining anymore. They quarreled with one another. And they tested the Lord, the Bible says. And this is what they did. They questioned, is the Lord among us or not? They could not see God in the midst of the trial anymore. Okay? Trial is not to so that you see that God's not there. Trial is there so that you will see that you worship and believe in a God who will never forsake you, who will never leave you. But when they can't defeat that one demon, trial. No water, trial. What happens is, eventually, God, I don't think God's here. God's not here. They were stuck. No change. No transformation. They, after they failed this similar trial second time, they started to go backward. Right? And this is what you and I are going to go through. There's a trial that you go through. And what's going to happen is, if you don't pass it, maybe God's usually pretty gracious. Circumstances change. You didn't overcome it, but the circumstances change. Right? And you go, phew, oh, that was great. Okay, you didn't overcome that one demon, okay? Demonic trial, a temptation, or, you know. But I don't know, 2 weeks later, 6 months later, or a year later, or maybe 5 years later, the same trial will come. The same trial will come. Okay? And what I want to encourage you is this. This is what when Jesus says, when you are able to overcome that one demon, you'll go to the next level. And that second level is not defeating two demons, but you could overcome seven. Did you hear me? You could overcome seven. It's not an addition here. There's a multiplication of spiritual authority when you defeat one. There's a multiplication of spiritual authority when you defeat one. That's the second level. I wonder, I think third level, I could defeat 100. You know, that's how I see it. Huh? And how is God going to use this church for revival? There has to be this multiplication of spiritual authority. Okay? And it starts with you and I defeating one. Okay? It starts with you and I defeating one. And how are we going to defeat it? Okay? It's bold prayer. It's bold prayer. You know, the apostles in the New Testament, the apostles, again, they weren't educated. They were ordinary people. That's what the Bible says. That's what the leaders in Jerusalem, they looked at them. You know, they were just ordinary people. They're not even educated, you know. But what was so unique and special about the apostles, you know? In the book of Acts, the church started. There's a new church, and you know, they didn't know what to do. Back then, there was no, can you imagine? There was no church planning handbooks, okay? There was no seminars on church planning. There was no book on church planning. They didn't even have the New Testament yet. Right? They didn't even have the New Testament. Church was new. In one day, 3,000 new believers. And leaders in Jerusalem wanted to destroy this church and put all the leaders in prison. There was persecution. And on top of that, there must have been tremendous fear in the apostles. There was their own brokenness, their own insecurity. There was past rejection, past abuse, past neglect, past, you know, brokenness. And in Acts 6, you know, again, church, no, there's no such thing as a perfect church. You know, we look at the New Testament church. They were not perfect. there was a conflict between the Hellenist Jews. What are the Hellenist Jews? When the church started at Pentecost, what happened was there were Jews that were living in other countries and other cities. Okay? And they spoke, and because of that, they were Grecian speaking. They spoke Greece, and they were they adapted to the Grecian culture. The Grecian, there was the Hellenist Jews, and during Pentecost they came, okay, to Jerusalem to worship God. And so the church, when it first started, was Hellenistic Jews from, you know, Greek speaking, Greek culture, you know, Christians with Hebraic Jews, those who were in Jerusalem, you know, that old culture, Hebraic, you know, culture, tradition Jews that became Christians. And you know what? The Bible says the widows among the Hellenistic Jews were being overlooked. Not the Hebraic Jews, but the widows from the Hellenistic Jews were being overlooked. So can you imagine this New Testament church? There was racism, there was injustice in this church. And God says, what's righteousness? Taking care of widows. You know, what is right in the kingdom of God? Taking care of widows. And that's the very things that they need to do. And they specifically picked out the Hellenist. There was racism and injustice in the church. There was brokenness in the church. But what was the apostles' solution? You know, was it human solution? Was it legislation? Was it, you know, as protest? Or what was it, you know? Instead, okay, this is very good. They first appointed 7 deacons to oversee this. And what's interesting, if you look at the name of the 7 deacons, they were all Hellenist. They were Grecian names. So they rose up leadership among the Hellenistic Jews to take care of this problem. Okay? But what's interesting in verse 3 to 4, Acts 6, verse 3 to 4, brothers and sisters, choose 7 right, men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. But this is what they said about themselves. We will turn this responsibility over to them, but we will give our attention. It mentions 2 things. Give our attention, okay? Devote ourselves to, that's what they're saying, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. 2 things. 2 ultimate important things. Again, they said 2 things, ministry of the word. And I could do hundreds of series on that, okay? Just the ministry of the word. But this message is focusing on prayer, okay? The bold prayer. That was one of the answers that the apostles gave. You know, there's tremendous pressure, you know. There's worldly views. There's tremendous division, you know. People are talking about even civil war, you know, in this country. There's a lot of human solution. The apostle chose God's solution. Yes, that's ministry of the word. And to prayer. And to prayer. It was a commitment to bold prayer. It was a commitment to bold prayer. Again, we're in the wilderness. Right? We're in the wilderness. There's a demon harassing you. Let's overcome that one demon. Right? You see, the first group that was in the wilderness, they weren't able to overcome that one. So they couldn't overcome the other demonic attack that they went through in the wilderness. So they died in the wilderness. But the children that grew up in the wilderness was able to overcome one. Then they were able to overcome 7. And then they went into the promised land. And they were able to overcome giants. Giants. David overcame Goliath, a giant. Right? But you know what he said? God help me overcome a lion. No, bear. A lion. Right? That one demon. Then he was able to overcome Goliath, the seventh demon. And then God used him to become the king of Israel. I'm not overcome this one. And then you're going to go to the next level. You'll be able to defeat seven. Right? The next level is learning how to defeat seven demons. And I believe if you go to the third level, God's going to use this church. God's going to use this church to bring revival to this whole region and beyond. That's why God says, this is why I believe, there's like three levels. I see this again and again in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? See, a revival doesn't happen because of a good worship service. Revival happens when we get to that third level. Right? We defeat the one. Then we learn how to defeat the seven. And when we get to the third level, we're able to help others who are being demonically oppressed and harassed and set them free. And then we go into the community and beyond. And God will use us to bring revival to nations. Can we believe that together? Yeah, let's pray.